All right, I have Mike, Jim, Carol, and then Frank. Okay, lined up. I've got Mike, Jim, Carol, and Frank.
Jim.
Mike, and then Tim.
It doesn't matter. I just have to hit that switch.
We're talking about the mortgage recording tax. And I wanted to mention a couple things. Joe, your PowerPoint shows that we have a lower mortgage recording tax than many other counties. However, most other counties don't have a deed transfer tax, which is a full 2% that the county collects. It was instituted a few years ago when we decided not to interpose a mortgage recording tax. I wanted to point that out. Maybe we need a slide that shows that one.
That's paid by the seller.
Yeah, it's paid by the seller, but it's a much bigger tax because it's paid on the full sale price. Second, I want to mention that, and you said it, but we want to underscore that this action tonight does not impose a tax. It simply asks the legislature, if we do this, will you do this and allow us to direct it to use for transportation. And the third thing I want to mention is that if we do add this tax in the future, I hope that we have a rescinding resolution for the one that we had for that other 0.25% that went to the state legislature, and the state legislature said no to. To me, that's still floating out there. And theoretically, we could have a full 1.25% mortgage tax having to be paid on some transactions, such as commercial and industrial transactions, which I think is too high. Lastly, I would say that if we do impose this 0.25% tax unilaterally, the county does, which will then flow into TCAT, and theoretically alleviate some of the burden from the city and from the Cornell University on the costs here, I think we ought to have some assurances at the county level that what we started our mass transit for was rural transportation. And I think we need some assurances, if we're going to add this extra money, that our rural routes going back to Tamtran are going to be protected. Thank you.
Jim, Carol, and Frank.
Yes, a couple things. Joe, on one of the slides, it said three counties were able to dump the money into their general fund. And was that would that have been established back in the 20th century when that law was put together?
I believe so. I mean,
okay.
In the 60s or 70s.
Right. And then there was three counties that had something else, a capital project they were doing.
Right.
Okay. The interesting thing to me is during the 75 emails that I received was that, and all the same, by the way, and it was the one paragraph, fourth one down, and they continued to talk about the transfer tax and the mortgage tax, that it would be wrong to increase the mortgage recording tax and transfer tax. So, you know, the kind of information that was being floated was a shade inaccurate. And I think my answer to anybody who would bother to call me was, let's say we have a $200,000 mortgage and now you're going to pay $500 more over 30 years. If that's a deal breaker, then if I'm a bank, I'm not going to give that person a $200,000 mortgage because that $500, they would hardly miss that over time. So clearly this is something I can't wait to vote yes on, and I think it's, I appreciate the fact that Pam and Frank and Joe and all the people involved in this, Joe Mariana, have gotten it this far.
Could I respond to something that Jim?
Well, can we go in line?
I just wanted to say something about the. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, one of the challenges that we have here is that the all of those way that money is being spent was established a very long time ago. Nobody has tried to change this law or change their role in this law. They haven't gone from from transportation to general fund or anything like that ever since the 1970s. So. Albany didn't even remember this law and how it's implemented. So we are going to Albany to re-educate them and our legislators there about it. And so that is why we have felt that keeping it as simple as we can in terms of getting it implemented as transportation is the best way to go, because that's where the vast majority of counties have chosen. When they did this many, many years ago, they chose to use it for transportation.
I'll get Carol, Frank, and then I'd like to take a turn.
Well, quickly, I'd just like to broaden Mike Lane's concern to include other pre-existing routes, not only in rural areas but in the city, because over time, I've talked here before about in my district, which is close to the university, those who don't live right next to the university, the routes that used to be there have all been pulled in towards the university, and I can't take a bus from where I live, for example, without walking, just as far as I'd have to get where I'm going anyway. I'm wondering if anybody in all the emails that we got any from any of the organizations who provide affordable housing. I didn't. In my household, there was obviously the opportunity to lobby me, and I did not hear that concern that this was something that was really going to make or break the ability to buy a house for somebody who was just there, being able to afford their first house. And then my main concern is whether there was any discussion of using any of this funding, should we manage to get it passed through the state, for hybrid buses. It's been a real disappointment to a lot of us here that each year, that as we go to buy buses, that we're not able to buy buses that are going to save money for fuel efficiency. And it would seem to me that if we're going to put this kind of amount extra, that is something that I'd like to achieve, at least with a portion of the money. So was that...
Can we ask Joe Turka?
Sure.
The issue on the hybrid buses we've looked at repeatedly, and I can say that the diesel bus that's produced today is as clean as a hybrid bus in terms of pollutants. But I think the other more important item that we run up against is the price differential in a hybrid bus over a conventional diesel bus is in the magnitude of $200,000 per bus. It's an expensive bus, and we looked at the return on investment on that, and I think the last time we looked at it was like a 20 to 30 year time period. We'd have to hang on to that bus for it to pay back the fuel efficiencies that they promote. Diesel bus 3.5, hybrid bus 4.2 miles per gallon. It is a 20% difference, but when you look at the numbers, you look at the return on investment, we'd have to hang on to those hybrids a long, long time, which we can't do.
Thanks.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you, Martha. Joe, you just raised one other question. On the TCAT Budget Committee, we look at replacing engines, and my recollection is that replacing a hybrid bus engine is considerably more expensive than... Can you say something about that? And Pam mentioned already that part of the expense is to pay for the battery replacement.
Yeah, the battery replacement is it's our best guess, since the hybrids have not been around that long, but asking other properties and the manufacturer, when should we budget for that? And that's what we did in our five-year plan. The engine replacement, I think the immediate needs on that are the 16 buses that we've identified right now to replace. Unfortunately, those buses were underpowered with engines that we have to replace every 200,000 miles. which is twice as fast as any other bus. So not only do we have to replace those buses, but we have that also the added operating expense of maintaining those vehicles as well. The hybrid versus the diesel bus engine replacement, we have not done that yet. The hybrids are too new. I don't expect them to be more, but I'm a little bit, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think it's coming significantly more, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. The other question I wanted to ask Martha, and maybe ask it of Joe or Pam, often we waive fees for not-for-profits and also occasionally for projects coming through the IDA or projects like that. Is there any intention of waiving any mortgage recording tax fees on any potential mortgage?
At the IDA, we only ever abate the state portion of the mortgage recording tax. We don't abate the local portion.
Okay, so that's probably not going to happen. But how about organizations that are listed as not-for-profits that also get record mortgages? I mean, there's quite a few of those going up now that the fee would be, I don't know how substantial the fee would be, but is that something for consideration?
Well, we'll need to get back to you on whether exempt organizations are exempt from the mortgage recording tax. I just whispered to Jonathan if he knew. So I don't know whether they currently pay that 3/4% rate. And, you know, if they pay that rate, they would certainly be subject to the extra quarter point as well. But I don't, frankly, know if they're inherently exempt.
Because some of the concerns that the real – and we all received the same laundry list that Jim was referring to of concerns from the realtors. If the private side that is not exempt is having to pay that, I think leveling the playing field – well, we're not voting on implementing it tonight.
No.
We're just exploring it and getting permission, and this might be an avenue that we need some clarification on. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go on Peter and then Dooley. First, I want to echo what Mike said about the rural areas. The rural routes are the ones that got the fare increase recently, and as well as cuts to service, and I think, you know, we'd like to make a little noise about that. I have a concern about, and I'm going to support this. I think it's a great move. While we do all the things we're going to have to do to get through Albany, I'd like to ask for something more specific about how the money would be used at TCAT. In other words, a lot of these items on this list are certainly by our standards of $100,000, aren't in the $100,000 range. Question is, should they maybe be in sort of operational budgets? So not for us to discuss it tonight, but I guess I'd like to see if $720,000 is coming to TCAT, I'd like to have some designated portion, like with a limit on it, that goes to operating and, say, the balance goes to capital. The goal being, if this is, you know, some years you might not need it all for capital, it would be great to see this be able to build towards that facility, whether it's a major expansion or a new facility. I mean, I'd like to not have this feel like just a general pool of money. I'd like it to really help TCAT build towards the future. So I'm not trying to ask you to come up with exactly what the split should be long term or whatever, maybe it's a 5-year plan, but I'm sensitive to the idea that it might be too easy to just let the operational budget creep in and then have a big bill for the facility, then come back to the partners for an additional new bill. I'd like this to really be seen as trying to build towards the future. So I'll put Peter, Dooley, and then back to Pam and Brian. Peter.
Yeah, just a couple of comments. I got the letters, the emails. I read them. That is
until I read about three of them, and then I was starting to think that I somehow I'd heard this before. And it certainly was more letters, I think, than I've ever gotten on any other single item. I'm sure you can't disagree with the general premise. We hear it every day on the front pages of the paper that if you raise taxes, then there's less money to be spent in the private market, and so that hurts the economy in some sense. And I think in some sense that's always true, but it is overridden by the fact that you have to make a compromise and risk hurting the market a little bit because you feel the need for this particular cash for infrastructure or whatever, okay? So the fact that any money you spend hurts at least to some degree the private market, I think, is not a sufficient argument to vote against it. So I will vote for this because I believe that, as I've said a number of times before, that TCAT is fundamentally something that attacks what I think is the major technological problem we face in the world, and so I'm supporting it. I mean, global warming is what I'm talking about. Hearing the talks around these tables about those of us who would want to direct where the money goes in some way or other towards buses of one sort or some routes or something like that, I think that kind of micromanaging, I think we have to be careful about doing that, like micromanaging the department. But we understand that TCAT cannot compete in the private market without government subsidy. No public transportation system has ever done that. So that's part of life, is that we have to, if we believe that the public transportation system is important and worthwhile, we have to be willing to support it by our tax revenues. But I think that we ought to be very careful about forcing the fact that we give taxes to this organization, forcing it to carry out particular things that we like one way or the other, is not the right thing to do. I think we give them an overall goal which says to produce this operation as economically and as cheaply as you possibly can, and that we should somehow give a broad sense that it has to support all parts of our community, and then not try to figure out in detail how we ought to ask them to apportion any particular sum of money we give.
Okay, Dooley, Pam, and Brian.
I hardly know where to start. If TCAT were solely a county responsibility, I would probably be delighted with what Pam and Joe have come up with and support this. But this is not solely a county responsibility. And I think by our saying that forever into the future we want this mortgage recording tax to go to TCAT changes the partnership in major ways. I agree with what Pam said. A partnership, a financial partnership, is only as rich as the weakest member can be in any given year. But that doesn't help me with this particular approach. I'm not sure whether in considering this you have considered changing the equal partners to something other than that. And that's something I hope you have thought about, and I'd love to hear about it. That's one item. The other thing is that we have structural deficits in places other than TCAT, for which we understand our responsibility. And the fact that no county has gone after this particular additional tax since the 1970s doesn't tell me that you can only do it for mass transit, because that's what the state legislature will understand. I think that they are perfectly capable of seeing other uses have been made in the past, and I think it would be prudent for us to broaden what we're asking them to allow us to spend this tax that we can levy but not collect without their agreeing on what we'll spend it on. So I have put in your packets revisions with my name on it. And I'm looking at that now, and I notice that one of the things that I left in the resolution was I wanted to add the year about when TCAT was recognized as the best little bus system in the country. And I put in 2012, and I think it's actually 2011. Is that right, Joe? So that's a mistake in what I submitted, and I apologize for that. This whole approach also seems to me to be predicated on the belief that the federal government will never again support mass transit. And I think that in the near term, that's likely to be true. And by near term, I mean a few years at most. And when they realize that the only way that our country is going to survive is by putting federal money into railroads and bus systems, things that move goods and people cheaper and with less effect on the climate. When that is recognized, I think that we will see money coming back for buses from the Federal Highway Administration, DOT. And at that point, I would like us to be able to spend this money for the other things that have structural deficits. So that's the burden of my alternative to this, to ask the state to allow us to spend it on mass transportation and or education, and in that I would include our public library as well as our community college, and our other necessary county purposes that serve the health, safety, and welfare of our residents, which isn't quite the same as saying, let's just put it in the general fund, but it gets closer to that. I note that tonight we have already passed Resolution I, which is an application for 6 buses, and there's a very good chance we're going to get that. We do. The MPO that I spoke about earlier has been very good about forwarding ideas of this sort, and these 6 buses, two big ones and 4 smaller ones, I think, that we applied for money for tonight. I hope, Joe, that they don't have the engines that you've been complaining about, that we bought buses that we sort of wish we hadn't bought, it sounds like. So I'm not sure who looks out for what we're actually going to get, but that's a concern to me. However, the fact that we're getting more buses or we've applied for money for them says to me that this mortgage recording tax is not the only way to do that. So with that said, I would like to move my substitute resolution for the record.
Is there a second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay. Seconded. So I already have Pam Bryan, and I have another question. We could start there on discussion of Dooley's motion or amendment or substitution.
Mine doesn't have to do, what I was going to say doesn't have to do with Dooley's motion.
Okay.
So I don't know if at some point you want her questions answered, but I can certainly wait to say what I was going to say until after we talk about Dooley's motion.
Okay, we'll come back to you then. All right, let me ask Frank, let me ask Brian, and if you've got something relevant, then I'm starting a new list of Jim and Frank. Brian, did you have something that can fit with Dooley's amendment?
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it just worked out that way, but I was looking for kind of the exact opposite of what Dooley just said. Some way of writing this, especially our portion, our holdback portion of it, so that we don't rate it ourselves for something else. Not thinking that we were going to do it before we even got started. I don't think they're going to allow us to do anything other than this. And basically what you'd be asking for is permission to use it as part of the general fund, which can then be, you know, rated for whatever. Now, I do agree that, and this isn't the only place, and it speaks to what you said, Martha, you know, I think it's entirely appropriate that we can ask that the structural deficits that we have be addressed. I mean, we're addressing the deficit side of it, in this manner. But we can certainly ask questions about the structure along the way as well, because, you know, like you say, through no fault of Joe's or anybody else's, the funding streams have changed to cause it, but we can still ask the question. I'm not so sure that's micromanaging, because we're not getting so detailed or caught up in the minutia, but we can certainly ask the general sorts of questions. But in terms of that 15% holdback that you're proposing, Joe, that's probably the only way I would agree to this whole concept, is if we took that money and applied it directly to to our portion of that. Because it's either this or us and the city and everybody else raises the taxes, you know, proportionately up to the money that we need. So, you know, it strikes me kind of funny that, and I understand why, you know, all these emails that we got from the folks involved with local real estate, but how would they be selling houses with the higher property tax rates that you would need to get in order to fund it, you know, from both us and the city, and probably, well, the school doesn't matter, but certainly us and the city.
Okay, thanks, Brian. My question is, I think is relevant to Dooley's, is that if, Julie, you were talking about, you know, we hope the federal government restarts paying for buses, and that could happen. So my question is, if this tax is in place and structured so that a certain percentage is for operating and a certain percentage is for capital, let's say, I mean, I assume you wouldn't stop trying to get other grants, I mean, federal and whatever other kinds of support for capital and operating the way you do now. Right?
Yeah, no, I think that's what TCAT's all about right now, is looking at every source of funding, because our capital needs are so great. You saw millions of dollars up there. It's fun to put that plan together, but then reality hits you in the face by saying, how are we going to do this? We have no dedicated funding stream at all. So 5311 that you passed earlier, that's another source, but that's only 41% of what we do. And those are two buses for TCAT and four for Gatibow. So that's what we're going to have to do going forward, is be extremely creative and go after every nickel we can to make all this work. It's not going to, this $700,000 a year isn't going to solve all of our problems.
Okay, so it's going to be a continued effort to keep looking for them. So let's say the world changes and the money shows up for buses again, but the tax is still in place. Am I right to think that if things were really wonderful, maybe the other part of the partner share could actually go down? I mean, if this were, I know, pie in the sky.
No, I would love to have the problem, and I think that's, you know, that's a good question to ask. I could see that happening,
okay,
if that were to happen.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Jim, Frank, Carol, Pat, and Leslie.
Mine is specifically about Dooley's motion. I will not support it, and one of the reasons is that at the beginning of this, when Joe was doing the slideshow, I heard that there were at least two different state organizations that we had talked to, and, you know, we're talking about a law that went into place before, I guess everyone was born then, but in the 60s, and it was, except for Nate, and it was implemented, and it makes sense to me. The less contact you have with New York State and the more definite answer you can get and definite question, then you're going to be better off. If you say, well, we'd like to use it for transportation, but maybe you want to slide some in the general fund and do something else with it. I, you know, that's when you run into problems. And I think it's much easier. It's interesting to me. We have deficit. We're trying to deal with the area development. We can possibly deal with it for this group. The library had an opportunity 4 or 5 years ago to have a vote on taxes that would have fit their fixed their problem online. And, you know, it did not make it through through county government because people got involved in it and just completely diverted it and really overspoke it, if I can say that. I really believe that Dooley's amendment should be voted down, and we should vote on the original one-item thing, ask for this tax, and make it very simple, because I think you run into a huge problem if you don't do that.
Frank.
Thanks, Martha. part of the equation, in reading Dooley's substitute, The resolved indicates that there might be an opportunity to spend some of the money on education and other necessary county purposes that serve the health, safety, and welfare of our residents. If I heard Joe Mariana correctly when he was doing the PowerPoint, if this turns out to be a robust tax and we enjoy extra, you know, it increasing, that the 15% will also increase, and as the part of that 15% will go to offset our base contribution, which now is about $900,000. That $900,000, by the way, we have to take from property taxes now. So if part of the 15% increases, it means we can plow more money onto the $900,000 side, reduce what we're paying in property tax, and that found money, if you will, can go for the types of programs that are in Dooley's resolution, or any other program for that matter. But that becomes available for us to put in the county's general fund. So while I think the intent of Dooley's substitute is worthwhile, I'm going to join Jim in not supporting it at this point, because I think this has we have to give this thing a chance to operate and see how much, if we move it forward, how much we're going to generate here. Thank you, Martha.
Carol?
Yeah, I'm increasingly uncomfortable hearing the discussion about the prospect of this money just ending up in the, or at least a portion of this money ending up kind of in the general pot of TCAT. I'm in favor of doing it if it's really targeting the money for TCAT to continue to build. But I do believe that this is going to continue to be a three-way partnership, that we shouldn't have a path whereby the county ends up, through its mortgage recording tax, paying the lion's share of the funding while experiencing only a third of the authority. So I am looking for some way for us to either, if things change in the future, to be able to decide we'll spend this on other things, or now lock in that that this could be used to build rather than just for operating. I also believe that we have other transportation initiatives, not nearly as big, CUNY, in comparison, but there are other kinds of alternative transportation initiatives that I'd like to see us be able to grow in the future, particularly as the population ages. I think we're going to see more of a need for that, and TCAT addresses some of that, but maybe not as much as we'll want them to. So I liked Dooley's inclination to broaden this a little bit to give us more flexibility. Dooley, I have concerns that it's broadening it too much, particularly in terms of state approval. So Joe gave us other examples of things that, that other counties have spent the money on, but I didn't see any of them, and there were, they weren't all transportation, but I didn't see any of them that were more than one thing per county. So I have some concern that if we try to add more than one item to dedicate this to, that it'll fail. But I would maybe want to expand it to the word transportation purposes. Take out the word mass, so that we have the flexibility to spend it on some of these other programs that relate to transportation and vehicles in the future if we need to. And that's on Julie's resolution. I don't know if I should offer an amendment to the amendment. I think I'll let it stand, but I would be open to if somebody else is interested in just taking out the word mass, and maybe we're adding a whereas then, whereas Tompkins County has in the past and will continue to implement additional successful transportation programs, that we might want to support. So that it's all transportation, at least, gives it one unified thing to be coming to the state with. And so that's where I stand.
So you didn't make an
amendment. I didn't make an amendment yet. I don't know, because I don't want Julie to feel like her amendment has been usurped. But
okay.
Can I just ask, are you open to that, Julie?
That
would you consider it
does not strike me as what I was trying to do at all, so I guess not. Thank you for asking, but you can do what you want.
Okay, I've got Pat, Leslie, Pam, and Will.
Well, I wanted to make a comment that addresses, first of all, the emails that we've been getting from realtors, just by pointing out, as I did in an email that I sent around, that in addition to the comments that have already been made about property tax here in Tompkins County and how that would be impacted if we had to put this over to the property tax, I think that's a very good point. But the other thing is that one of the things that I think draws people to Tompkins County, among others, there's certainly lots of things that do, but is our mass transportation system. And certainly in terms of having the county being an inviting place that people want to come and want to live here, I think it's very important that we support mass transportation. And I think it benefits the whole realtor industry here in Tompkins County for us to take steps that are going to keep this a strong mass transportation system. So that's how I feel about that piece of it. I would also be greatly concerned about the challenge of trying to get state approval of what we're trying to do if we try to broaden the definition of what we would consider spending this money for. If I were looking at this from the point of view of a state legislator with the kind of suggestions that have been made, not that these other things that have been suggested don't have a great deal of merit on their own, but as part of this proposal, I would think, wow, this is just sort of opening it up to anything that you want to do with it. And that's not the kind of thing that I think that they would be looking for or looking to approve at the state level. So I think that we have a much stronger chance of trying to get this approved if we go back to the original language that has been proposed, and that's what I'll be supporting.
Leslie.
So I struggled with this one from the time I saw it, because for me it's just yet another tax, although a little more specific than some of the other general ones that we have. Julie, I appreciate what you're trying and what you're attempting to do with your resolution. But what it begins to feel like to me is it begins to feel sort of like this shell game of we've already passed our budget, we've already done some stuff, we're going to do this again next year. But instead of taken it out, you know, our property taxes being where we get the bulk of our revenues. Now we look at this other place to fund those things that you mentioned. And it just feels weird to me at this point. My other comments, not specific to Dooley's resolution, but to the whole concept and the whole idea of this. I'm with Mike. And Mike started earlier, and I really do appreciate sort of your honest reflection of our expectations. I don't see that as micromanaging, as Peter alluded to, about our residents' needs and making sure that those are protected. And I also want to ask the question, where are other partners in terms of their commitment to helping to deal with this structural deficit, or is it just us who are looking at it? Has there been conversation with them, and have they committed to doing something? Or is this just us as a county in general, or sitting here as this body, moving towards doing this?
That's a good question. Well, you're up, Pam.
Well, I think that we came to this point from looking at, you know, we've had the structural deficit for years. It gets worse. I mean, would there have been times when TCAT's reserve fund was down to $35,000? I mean, it was on, which is pathetic. And so we have been coping with this. And what happens is that because we've been going through this hard economic times, the city in particular has not had the ability to come up with an increase, nor really, frankly, has the county been in a position to come up with increases. So we are as much a part of that as everybody else. So my focus in all of this was try to figure out a way to stabilize TCAT's future. Because, for example, some years STOA, which is the state money we get from the state, they're very generous. And then there are other years when they cut everything we've had. We don't know where gas prices are, because of course we all know the gas prices go up and down at alarming rates, but it has a huge impact because TCAT uses a huge amount of gas, of diesel. And so it's that volatility, it's that not knowing what's going to happen, and the partners have not been in a position to increase their share. So then I thought, well, then let's look at a public authority. Let's see if that was, we'd have access to this mortgage recording tax if we did that, which we would. That this mortgage recording tax would be dedicated to a public authority if we established one. There are advantages and disadvantages to having a public authority. So TCAT never really voted on whether to move forward toward a public authority or not, but there were some of us who looked at it didn't think that at this particular time it would make sense for us to do that. I mean, we would lose more control locally. It becomes more of a New York State function. There are many, and I don't particularly want to go into that now, but I was focusing on how we're going to get more money. So, we don't have to do a public authority to get this money. We can do this as we are right now, with the structure that we have. So that's how we went there. We've had discussions. Our partners, when we started, when they put TCAP put together the five-year capital needs plan, that we talked to the setting up a capital reserve fund. We talked, all three partners were there, and we generally agreed that we were all going to have to contribute money to this capital reserve fund on an ongoing basis, at least for the next 5 years. So we generally have agreed to do that. But in terms of dealing with the kind of need that we're looking at, that $13 million of the 16 buses, the 16 large buses that we need, or 14, I guess now we're getting two, I mean, those are things that are just ongoing. We will always need buses, because buses pass their life expectancy expire. They become more expensive to maintain than it is to replace them. So we are going to have that ongoing need. So how do we deal with that? How do we take this gem of a transportation system and put it on solid basis. I mean, there are many flexible pieces in this right now. We're doing a regional study. It's possible that we could have a seven counties would join together and you know, do some sort of transportation system. So that is out there too. There's always the possibility that the FTA will all of a sudden decide that public transportation is the way to go. But we don't know those things right now. We don't have those things, and the needs are overdue right now. So, I mean, in my mind, if and when TCAT gets to the point where it's on more solid footing financially through other sources of funding, then I think that it would be possible to go back to Albany and say, we would like to change where this money goes, you know, add something else into there. I mean, I don't think there's nothing that says we can't do that. It's just that right now, Albany doesn't have a clue what we're talking about in any case, so it's been so long. So I just feel like we've got the best chance of getting this thing through the way we're doing it now, and we can, you know, make those other changes as we go along.
Yeah,
sure,
follow-up, yeah.
Well, Pam, everything that you said there, I clearly understand. I'm not debating any of that. Simple Simon over here really has a real simple question.
Right.
And maybe I'm just looking at this just too simply.
Okay.
Okay. We have a partner in Cornell University who's building multi-million dollars of property in New York City and elsewhere. Are you really telling me that there's no commitment from Cornell University and cannot to be able to help with what's going on at TCAT? Is that what you're saying to me?
No. What I'm saying is that because of the way that TCAT is structured, you have with the three partners, all three of them have to agree.
I understand
to an increase.
That.
And so what happens is because the city is in no ability to do that, then we have not had any increases.
Right. So three partners are supposed to.
Right.
Come to the table and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Three partners are not able to.
Right.
Now it's one partner that's looking at adding a tax
mm-hmm.
to be able to do this,
right.
as opposed to three partners being able to come to the table to do this. That's where my head is
yeah.
right now.
Well,
and
okay,
let's try to move. Joe's got his hand up. That's usually.
I'm just asking if we have the conversation,
yes.
And where are they? That's what I'm asking.
Joe?
Yeah. Directly to that point, I think there are all three partners are in at 940. So the issue
that's
of pulling
it.
Back from that, they're in at 940. I think, though, the way we should be looking at this tax is the way it's applied in 24 other counties. It's a transit tax. It's a transit tax in those 24 other counties. It goes directly to the provider of mass transportation. So in terms of whose tax is it? Is it a county's tax and it should it count against our partner share or not? And Pam and I have had this conversation. When you remember the slides, what happens after we turn that switch on to draw this money down? That money doesn't flow to the county. We don't control that money. If anything, it goes to municipalities or to New York State. So we are acting almost as we do in the FTA grants,
mm-hmm.
as a conduit of revenue into our transit operation.
Mm-hmm.
We are a means to an end. So we can help provide support for TCAT that would otherwise have to come from all three partners. So that's what we're doing. We're a means to an end of a revenue source. That again, if we just exercise our authority and we turn the switch on to bring the money down, would not go to the county. So I would argue we shouldn't look at it as we might look at that local mortgage recording
mm-hmm.
tax that we tried to get earlier.
Okay. Will, Jim, Les, I have you down again, but okay, and then Peter.
Yeah, you can have me down again because I'm not done yet, but you want to move on. Go ahead.
If you don't mind, is that okay?
So
okay.
I was going to call the question, but I will yield if there are people that have compelling things to say.
All right. Remember, what's in front of us is Dooley's substitute.
Right.
Okay. Are you call? Well, you've already talked about it, so you can't call a question. All right, Jim.
I'm going to call the question on Dooley's amendment.
All right. Is there a second to that? Second by Pat. All right. All in favor of calling the question? please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 9-5. So we are voting now on Dooley's amendment. Trust everybody understands what that is. If this fails, we go back to the original proposal. All in favor of Dooley's amendment, please raise your hand.
Well.
All opposed. That should be 13. 1-13. All right. Well, all right. Now, wait a second. Hold on. Let me figure out the list here, because I had Pam back on the original list. You had a lot of airtime. Can I go back to... I had you left over from the last, before the amendment. Do you want to take another
right.
shot?
I was decided I was going to just do one big shot, and because instead of doing two separate ones. So what I have to say, I don't have as much to say because I've already said part of it in response to Leslin.
Well, hold on. So then I have Leslin. I'll go back to Leslin, Peter, and Carol after Pam.
I'll let Peter go.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to say is to talk a little bit about rural ridership. And having served on TCAT now for, 8 or 9 years, is that one of the things that we have been very careful of is to look at the combination of we have this a large number of people who come into the county every day to go to work. We have commuter traffic, a large commuter traffic. But we also have people who are living in rural areas who need to get into town to go to the grocery store, to do all these other things. And we have people in the city who also use public transportation to get around the city. So of trying to keep those things in balance, because we have that complex need. Now, it's absolutely in TCAT's interest to have a vigorous rural ridership because we get money from STOA based on the number of miles we go. So even though the number of riders that we get in the rural areas might be fewer than we have in the city, we get credit for those miles, and those miles turn into dollars. The other piece is I just wanted to remind people that the cuts that took place in the system were both in the rural areas and in the city areas. And some of the routes, for example, the one that went out into Newark Valley, I mean, that went outside the county. And we realized that we were paying money to pick up people in another county to bring to Tompkins County that it was costing TCAT more money. So, I mean, that kind of decision we had to make. So it's complicated, but it is the rural, bringing rural riders in, having them more apart has been a goal of TCAT. The demand response program that's in place out in Freeville that's worked very well is where we get people who don't have cars, who don't live on our bus route, of figuring out ways to get them into town. And so we are trying to increase our rural ridership by programs such as that. The other thing that I wanted to say, one other thing, was to talk about the capital versus the operating funds. If we pass this and if it gets implemented, that the capital needs and operating needs go up and down. I mean, some years you'll need a number of buses, some years you won't need so many. But I think that a saying that only a certain percentage can go into the operating budget reduces the really needed flexibility that TCAT needs. I mean, TCAT has been operating at a bare bones. I mean, they I don't know how they do what they do, but they definitely have operating needs, and it isn't just the capital needs. So I hope we don't get too focused on that that if we express our interest in having it go in one place more than the other or some way, I don't think there's any problem with that, but if we end up directing it, I would be concerned about it. But frankly, we don't have to worry about that right now, because right now what we're doing is we're just going to the state to try and get us to the point where we can argue about that.
So. Peter, and then Carol.
Yeah, I just like to make an observation. I must confess I am somewhat troubled about the fact that here we have an organization which is organized as three equal partners, just like any other business organization that's got three partners, and yet we're making a contribution and the other two aren't. And isn't there something wrong about that? And but I think it's important to realize that that the three partners are very, very different in their ability to provide money. For instance, if I ask the question, how easy would it be for each of the three partners to add an additional $1 million a year, it's clear to me, for instance, comparing the county and the city, that it's much easier for the county to provide another $1 million from it because it's got a tax base which is three times as big as the city. And what's more, some of the money that the county gives comes out of the city, because the city is a third of the county. So we're not equal to the city in our ability to give a certain amount of dollars. And then, if you compare either the county or the city to Cornell, there's just no comparison. Cornell is rich as Croesus. For Cornell to come up with an additional $1 million a year is like child's play compared to the city's ability to come up with another $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. Those are facts, okay? I mean, it may not say anything to the legal obligation of it. So the way it seems to me is that if it's possible, okay, that if in fact we as the county provide this additional $1 million or $900,000, then might it not be easy a year or two from now to go to Cornell and say, hey, look, we put in more than our share for this. How about you guys kicking in something to show? Because for them, the transportation system is as important as it is for us, because all its people go through it all the time. It's really for mostly people who are involved in Cornell. And I wouldn't try to make that now, to have that discussion now, but I think we would have a strong argument if, in fact, we do this and we find additional needs for capital funds to approach our partners and say, how about you kicking in a little bit more than required? So that's the way it seems to me.
Okay, Carol, Dooley, Brian, and then I want to take a shot if there's anything left unsaid, and then Jim.
Well, that is quite an interesting concept, Peter, and I actually like, that's an interesting concept that you've raised, and I agree with it, but I don't understand why this isn't the best time that we'll ever have to make that argument. We're now deciding whether to, you know, act against the interests of, you know, a whole group of our citizens who keep writing to us, asking us not to do this, and talking about some of the negative impacts that it'll have, and one of the hardest things that we do is levy taxes. It's not easy to do, and there's always a good reason for people. You know, it's not easy for anybody to come up with money, and so we're on the hook to go to our citizens, our residents, and say we think we need to do this. One of the things that's grating for me is that we're doing this without our asking our partners to do any more, and I don't think the city can afford to do any more, I agree, with no guarantee that this money won't just end up in the general pot, letting them off the hook.
May I answer
so
that?
So I have problems with that, and I'm not sure how to address it, other than to leave our options at least a little bit more open, because I do think that this is worth pursuing. So I would like to at least, I mean, I'm happy to entertain any further notions about how to grapple with that. Not only that, Pam, although I think that you've made an incredible case, I think you've really done your homework and made a really good case for why we ought to do this, and have made some points about how this all fits together that I hadn't been aware of. We've been hearing for years that Cornell, because of its extra riders, 59%, is it, of riders, gets a volume discount. I had never heard that and because that those riders get to bring in outside money, I had never actually realized that we add miles that bring in outside money. So maybe we ought to be asking for a mileage discount. It's something to throw out for when you're negotiating next. But it just never seemed fair to me that there would be that an entity that is creating the need for further buses, further drivers, and routes to come into their property, then in addition gets a volume discount. I've always had problems with that. So I'm not happy about ways that might let that partner off the hook. In the meantime, before we come up with other ways to deal with this, I still would like to pursue by offering an amendment that it gives us at least a little more flexibility while still keeping this resolution for a single purpose, and that would be just to take out the word mass in the title and in the resolved, and just in order to help so it would read, requesting New York State to authorize the dedication of revenues produced by the imposition of a 25-cent per $100 additional tax, mortgage recording tax, for transportation purposes, there and in the resolved. And just so that there's some more justification, I would add that whereas that I threw out before, whereas Tompkins County in the past has supported additional successful transportation options and will continue to do so. So
okay.
I would move that.
All right. Is there a second to that? Julie seconds that. All right. Joe, did you want to speak to that?
Only that the language has come from the statutory language that gave the other counties the authority to bring this in for transportation. So mass transportation is essentially a term of law that we brought into this to help it.
With public?
Okay. So now we're on a list about the amendment. I've got Frank and then Jim, but let's look. We've been at this an hour and a half.
12 minutes.
So let's please try to be crisp, and if something's already been said, consider it covered. All right, I've got Frank and then Jim.
I want to speak to Carol's what I think is a worthwhile endeavor about removing the word mass, because it would provide additional options for other types of transportation, whether it be senior citizens, the disabled, or whatever. However, what some of you that probably haven't been as familiar with the federal breakdown on some of the grants that Pam and I have been involved with Joe and Joe on, I think it's 5316, Joe, the New Freedom column. There are provisions already in several of the federal grants to accomplish exactly what Carol is describing. Several of the resolutions you dealt with already earlier this evening deal with those very items. It spreads the money out to FLIC, to the veterans organizations, to the Red Cross, organizations that are providing these alternative means of transportation. So I think Carol's on the right track. It's a worthwhile endeavor, but we don't need to add it here. At least my suggestion would be not to add it here, because it's already covered someplace else. Thank you.
You mean not to subtract?
Say again?
Not to subtract. So I see her motion is to subtract. Okay. Jim?
My question is, why don't we want to follow rules? Why don't we want to submit the perfect letter to the state to whoever in the state so that we can possibly do this? It boggles my mind that we just insist on, you know, trying to make it perfect squared, I guess is the word.
The other comment I have, I listened with great interest with talking about the use of the money and, you know, the partners and this money. It's not our money. It is not levy money. It is not taxpayer. You know, we didn't levy that to do that. And when you start talking about the other members of the organization, you know, we're doing this to take care of our third and help out. It is not, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're not talking about taxpayer money here. We're talking about fee money that's generated because somebody does a mortgage. So
you mean,
know,
it's not competing with other property,
yeah,
tax
absolutely
functions?
You can
right
say that.
And I am not going to support whatever the motion was.
Okay, are we ready to vote on that amendment then?
Ready to vote, but can I please offer a real respectful correction to my dear colleague Frank? People with disabilities.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, was it?
People with disabilities as opposed to the disabled. Thank you.
Okay, the motion is to take out the word mass in the resolved and in the title and to add the whereas. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? 2-12. We're back to the main motion, and the people I have on the list are Dooley, Brian, me, and Jim.
I just want to relate what happened at the MPO meeting this afternoon with relation to this. Mayor Myrick was there because he's on one of the committees, and he asked if this resolution was going to be acted on at the legislature tonight, and I assured him it would be. And he asked, what are its chances? And I said, I'm sure it's going to pass, that the information shared, the lobbying done by Pam as chair and Joe as administrator has been extensive, and I think my colleagues are all ready to do this. So I will be the only person voting against it. And I told him privately that I have the luxury to vote against it because I'm sure it's going to pass. And I truly don't think this is the right way to go about it. I think it should be a broader request. But I said to everyone there that I was sure it would pass, and I am sure tonight it will pass. The only thing that I did earlier tonight was I did ask a question of Pam, whether there had been any discussion of rebalancing the partnership in terms, I didn't say this, but I was thinking in terms of voting membership on the TCAT board, if we are taking on such a large share of it. And I didn't get an answer, so if you're comfortable answering that, I'm interested in that.
Do you have any answer?
Yeah.
Well, at one point early on, I came up with this idea, and it was I was trying to get by the bottleneck of the partners, which is sort of going to where you were talking about, Leslyn, about how we could get to the point where we could get the partners to increase their share, and the city being the weakest partner in this, and how we could help them. So I thought, well, okay, so we have this mortgage recording tax, and the county, you're probably going to all start groaning when I say this, the county would basically sort of buy one of the city seats. So the county would then have four seats at the table, and the city would have two, and Cornell would have three. And so then the county would pay more, and the city would pay less, because the county would be paying for more than that. And then I'm losing it now. And then the rest of it would go. Anyway, it was some way of relieving the pressure on the city, because it's the city that's having the hardest time. So that the mortgage recording tax there would be some relief for the county, because the county would take a chunk of that mortgage recording tax to help with that four shares. The city would get some money, and TCAP would get some money. I mean, the city wouldn't get money, but the city would get have to pay less money. And Cornell, and so then if you raise the partner share, the county and Cornell would be increasing their share in that process, and the city wouldn't.
So the county would have 4 seats, Cornell would have 3 seats, and city would have 2.
Right.
Okay, I've got Brian.
Yeah, I don't view this as us putting in an additional part of a share. We are the only authority that has the ability to ask for this tax. It's not like it goes into our coffers and then out to TCAT. It's, as Joe says, a conduit. It's a clear conduit. It's not ours. The only way that you come up with additional monies besides doing something like this is to ask the three partners to contribute the same additional monies, which means additional taxes, property taxes. This additional money, everybody's still going to be paying the 940 or whatever it is. This is additional monies that we don't have to ask for, us in the city, is for additional property taxes to make up that money to be able to pay to TCAT. This is a straight line from this mortgage recording tax to TCAT. It's not ours. So we're not entitled to, more of a representation, I don't believe. We just have the ability to ask for this tax. It's not our money.
So I'm going to take my turn. I agree with that. I see it the same way. In fact, this gives us 127 worth of, or 15% of, as budget relief, whether it's for our share or to pay back something else, so it's easier for us to pay our share. So I think I agree with that entirely. I would wish that the other TCAT board members were listening to this discussion to know how hard this is for the county legislature to do. So I hope that'll be communicated, that this was not a slam dunk. And that I think we do have a very legitimate right to say we kind of want to have a report back about how this is going to get used, maybe a smaller session that really sort of identifies how this pot of money is divvied up. So I think that's entirely legitimate. So I hope this passes. I've got Jim, Mike, then Leslie.
I'm going to move to call the question.
Okay, is there a second to that? Will seconds that. All right. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
I thought he couldn't call the question because he's spoken to us.
No, Jim just, I just called on Jim and he said he called the question.
Right, no.
So the question is, this is on the main motion. Who's ready to stop debate? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that passes 9-5. So what's before us is the main motion. Ready to vote?
Martha, I really need just a clarification. It's okay. Not a debate. My clarification is this. We can impose this locally. We can do it. But we need the state's permission to do what?
Dedicate its use. Otherwise, it would go either to Albany or be distributed to municipalities.
Okay, so we don't need the state's permission to impose it. We just need to say what we're doing it
exactly
for.
Right.
Thank you.
But if we, let me to clarify, if the state doesn't give us that permission, we don't have to institute the tax, right?
Correct.
No, we don't.
That's where I'm confused then.
Right.
This doesn't levy the tax.
No, it doesn't.
This only lets us go to our delegation and say, please carry, the way we memorialize, a resolution and say we want such and such put into law. This only gives us permission to ask for that. If they come back and say no or have other strings attached, we don't have to take that action.
If the state says you can't use it for mass transportation, which is what we're asking them to do, then we don't have to do this.
That's right.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. All in favor of the main motion,
please? A roll call vote, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
All right. Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I'm going to do what Pam just did. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
We have 13 ayes, 1 no.
All right. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Joe.
Martha, I would like to ask that my reason for voting no be summarized in the minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Everybody shake their heads and their hands and whatever. Start over again. We're back to the first committee on the list. That would be public safety. Peter Stein, chair.
I have no report to give. We are having our meeting and on the third Wednesday, right? The first Wednesday in January.
Is it January 2nd? Yes.
January 2nd?
That's
2nd.
The date.
The date is the 2nd. Yeah. Right. First one.
Okay. The regular time. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie, and Nancy Claiborne.
The WDAC met, and we continue to work on a few things. We have had a very... an ongoing spirited discussion about the living wage issue. We had members of the public and employees come to speak to us, and diversity and inclusion language as it relates to our RFPs and contracts, etc. So we're hoping that there can be some language that we could have uniformly included in those RFPs and when we put things out like that. So we're continuing to work on that. This legislature several years ago, when we first started with WDIC, passed a policy statement following our diversity and inclusion statement. We have taken that policy statement and began to work with it to make it a policy, put it in the form of a policy. It has all the elements all the language that we needed there for policies, just not in that format. So we're doing that, and will be rolled out following whatever the process is for review and feedback, et cetera, and we hope to bring that to you soon. We are continuing to work on our reading and discussion program event that we hope to implement soon. Our grant went in, and we're looking forward to that. The other thing that is looming large on our agenda, and there's a subcommittee of people, well, two things working on this, is our disability access processes, procedures, what we have in place. So we're doing sort of an analysis of what do we have and what is missing and what do we need to do. How do people know to ask, and what's their process for someone asks for accommodation? What do we do? Or how do we make it so that people don't always have to ask for accommodation, that it's just automatically what's available to folks. The other thing, and these are things that came out of our climate survey, the other thing is hearing from our department heads that one of the key things that their employees continue to talk about is where do we go if we have a complaint. We want to talk about something that doesn't rise to the level of a human rights complaint, for example, but something around inclusion, something around diversity. Where does the complaint go, and you know, how does it get processed, etc.? So we can usually work on a system around that. So there are some big things we're working on as a committee Thank you all for the vote in the memberships that were appointed to the committee so we can continue to do this work. So lots going on with us. That's my report.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for Leslie? All right. Facilities and infrastructure, Carol, did you cover your whole report?
I think I covered everything.
Okay, great. Frank?
Would you like me to?
Why do I keep doing that? And nothing personal, totally. Health and Human Services
okay.
Committee, Frank Potter, Chair. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Martha. The Health Committee met on the 11th. I just wanted to give you an update on three items. We had quite a substantial report from Susan Smeltzer regarding mental health services in the county. This all preceded last Friday's event, by the way. The largest report was on the Lakeview Mental Health Services Housing Project. The discussion about taking over, or at least proceeding with reviewing, building a facility where the Pancho Villa restaurant is on Meadow Street, and proceeding north on Meadow Street. That's in the mill, but none of it's approved yet at the state level, but they're still talking about that. That's where the facility would go. The second piece was on health homes. That's a pretty active discussion. And the state plan and the amendment to the various phases is underway. That's going to affect our county, particularly with the care transitions material that we've been working on most of this year. The last item I wanted to mention to you is FoodNet. Steve Griffin, if you remember earlier this year, Steve Griffin came to us because FoodNet had a shortfall for this year of over $100,000. And part of that was driven by the increased cost of food, the decrease in the ability for individuals who were recipients of the program being able to make any sort of a contribution, financial contribution, the increase in the number of people availing themselves of the program, and the increase in the cost for transportation. What we heard last week was wonderful. They have increased their sponsorship. They've increased third-party payments. They have something cooking with insurance companies. They have really taken their budget apart and reduced expenses. Pat, this is a model for that other organization that we're having trouble with. Yeah, Pat will know what I'm talking about. I'm pleased to report to you that they have reduced the $103,000 shortfall to $2,183. And they hope that by the end of this year, in the next couple of weeks, they'll even wipe that out. This board was very generous. If you remember, Lisa came to us and asked if we could put up about, it was around $60,000 to help them over the hump for the rest of the year. And we did, and this board has done, the FoodNet board has done everything that we've asked them to do. They've come to three or four of the committee meetings and really knocked themselves out on getting these finances under control. So that's a little bit of good news. Earlier this evening, there was a, under privilege of the floor, there was some discussion about what you could do to help your neighbors out during this trying time. If you wanted to make a contribution to an organization that really could use it, I'd say FoodNet should be on your hit list for consideration. The next committee meeting is the 8th of January. I assume we're going to be we'll probably continue for one more month with the existing committees because of the transition. We had several resolutions on the agenda already this evening and a laundry list of advisory board appointments. That is it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Frank.
We did do the fracking material. Will, could I ask you, the Board of Health was considering a resolution regarding the fracking. Could you say something about that?
I could if I wrote it, but I don't have it. Essentially, I think it was similar to what
it was similar to the one we did. But the Board of Health passed one.
Right.
This is on asking for that extension because the time constraint is so ridiculously short. But we've asked the Board of Health to pursue a similar resolution. Thanks.
That's in our folders on the left side.
Oh,
in your
great.
Red folders.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Will?
Yeah, I just wanted to amplify one thing that Frank touched on, which was this Lakeview project. It was reported to us that there had been a meeting at the mental health subcommittee, and a lot of concerns were expressed about kind of the nature of this project, the location, the lack of local involvement in the process. And I think, as I recall, they announced it was going to be a larger community meeting to talk. I don't know if that's
happening. I think you're right.
But there is just a desire, I think, to have much more local involvement and connection with the existing human service community here.
Some of the concerns that we heard at the meeting were the location. The individuals who would be renting or availing themselves of the living units, there was a concern that we'd be concentrating too many folks in one area, whereas part of the charge is to integrate individuals into the community. Meadow Street provides a natural barrier. Try crossing Meadow Street sometime. Provides a natural barrier to get to other services in the community. And Will's absolutely right. We really want to make sure the community steps up and has a piece in the discussion. And I think Susan and the subcommittee, Will's on the mental health board as well.
As is Dave.
As David is. And there was, David, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Not really. I think you pretty well covered what the essence of the discussion was at the board meeting anyway. The community itself is really not getting the involvement that it needs, and the general feeling is that its concentration, it puts a stigma on the thing. Okay.
Wasn't there a discussion even about having, they wanted to encourage people to have gardens, and they wanted to put them on the rooftop?
Yeah, there was some talk about that. I don't remember the details of that.
It's that kind of discussion that Will, I think, is alluding to that needs to be broadened. Anyway.
Yeah, Pam.
I just wanted to say that they contacted me and asked me for a letter of recommendation because they're applying for tax credits. So I'm really glad you're bringing this up, and I would like to have more conversations about this. I don't know if anybody else is going to have.
Well, it came through the housing fund. You know, it was a project that came through the housing fund, and there were some concerns raised.
Right.
And so.
Oh, that's right. And that's why he contacted me.
Yeah, and so the issue of, it's not just community involvement for the sake of, having people get together and talk, but there were some real concerns that this model worked in another city where Lakeview had done it, but some, people here had some different ideas on it. Dave?
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to say is that I think in this day and age, it's probably a whole lot easier to get money for a housing project like a big, huge building with multiple apartments in it than it is individual housing units for this particular purpose. And frankly, I think it's the easy way out. Okay. I think there's a better way to do this.
All right. So I'm glad that there's really a community meeting and, process. Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. Capital plan review. Mike, did you cover your... Okay. Government operations, Julie Kiefer, chair.
We met last Friday. I had every hope that we would finally get the Code of Ethics out of committee into the legislature, but that didn't happen. So I assume that will continue at the first meeting in January if we haven't totally reorganized. It's the second Friday of the month, the next GO meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Planning Development Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
So we pulled one resolution off consent. If it's okay, I'll put that forth right now, which is Resolution H, authorizing Federal Transit Administration, FTA, Section 5316, Job Access and Reverse Commute, JARC, and Section 5317, New Freedom Grants for 2003, and I so move.
2013,
thank you, yes.
Seconded by Pat.
And why don't you recognize Dooley?
Dooley?
I asked for it to come off because we're not accepting grants, we're applying for them, so I believe the title should say grant applications. And I had hoped that that could just happen, but I had to pull it off to get it.
Okay. And I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
And Pat?
It would go grants applications for 2013.
Okay. Acceptable to Pat, too. All right. Any other discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is unanimous. That's it.
So in terms of report, we had, many, many interesting items, including a wonderful presentation on the beautification program, which I noticed Dan Klein has been sitting patiently in the back. I don't know if Dan wanted to talk tonight about that, but they do a great job around the community, and we really appreciate it, and a much better understanding of how it's decided. We did decide to move our next meeting, which once again, before not knowing how committees will be reorganized, we moved our meeting back a week to the 9th. Normally it would have been the day after New Year's, so it'll be Wednesday the 9th, normal time 3:30, and we will likely be discussing, among other things, the TCAD Funding Task Force recommendation. And that concludes my report.
TCAD Task Force.
Yes, thank you for that clarification.
Any questions for Will? All right, thank you very much, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
The Broadband Committee is not meeting in December because our meeting date falls on Christmas Eve. So I'm not sure yet what the date in January will be, whether we'll go with our regular date or we'll move it up. So I will announce that at our next legislature meeting.
Thank you, Pat. And I would point out that the tomorrow in Albany are the announcements for the regional council grants. And I think they're going to put the broadband grants in there, too. Have you heard it otherwise?
We heard that they were going to delay the broadband grants until January.
Oh, okay. All right.
The regional grants would be announced tomorrow, but the broadband will be held off until January. But it changes, so I can't say for sure.
That's probably the latest thing. All right. Thank you, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, do you have Chair?
Excuse me. Thank you, Martha. We had a meeting the other afternoon. Two items came out of it worth talking about. Number one, we are going to continue the study of the target fund balance change. We've made the determination that we will not have the whole fiscal plan on the table while we do that. It's only going to be looking at the target fund balance portion of the fiscal plan that we have. Also, we had a talk and vote on salaries for the 2014, 15, 16, 17 legislature. We had three different items on the agenda. One was no increase, one was 2%, and one was a flat $20,000 resolution that we are going to move forward, and I'll qualify that. One of the members, Mike, said he would move it forward, and he wanted us to understand, and I think rightfully so, that he's not certain he would support that. But that's what's going to come to the legislature at the reorganization meeting, because I had a sense the reorganization meeting might be a little lacking, and we wanted to actually throw something on there that
would enliven it a little. So that's what is going to be. And Kathy, I think I want to schedule a meeting for January 7th. That's our normal time. Is that the first Monday?
No, I think you meet the fourth Monday.
Oh, so we're moving to the fourth? Okay. That's good. All right. Thank you. Happy holidays. And I really appreciate the effort of the committee and the complete legislature in doing the business of dollars and cents for Tompkins County, especially the budget. Thank you.
Any questions for Jim? Dooley.
Not a question. I forgot to say something under GO.
Any questions for Jim? Peter.
Yeah. Could you tell us what the vote was on those three
alternatives? We didn't vote on two of them, and we voted on the 20,000. It was 3-0. But Mike qualified it to send it. He voted 3-0 to move it to the legislature. Am I correct in saying? Go ahead, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah. I did that as a courtesy because Brian and Jim wanted to do that. I also would point out that I voted for the zero increase in the Government Operations Committee.
Perfect example of how I often say I don't agree with myself sometimes. So so we'll have at least two flavors coming.
Well, we were down two members of the committee. Yeah. So yeah.
Right. It's Jim and then Brian.
Obviously, you know, there are varying opinions around the table. We don't have to do anything until, you know, quite a ways down the road. And that's why we brought it now. And, you know, I'm fully under, you know, I understand completely that there will be moves to do this and moves to do that, and I'm okay with that. You know, but it's time to have the discussion.
Brian?
These guys actually brought up $30,000, and I was totally opposed to that. I told them right from the start, forget it. We're not doing it. Brian, I realize it's late, but...
my memory's not good.
That was your comment?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, right. It was.
Okay. Yeah. Dooley?
And well, it's time to go.
I think Mike has just said what I wanted to say. I forgot to say that GO had voted on the salary resolution and was advancing the 0%, which really surprised me that went through, but that's what went through.
Okay. Leslin?
I don't have a comment on the budget. I just want to say thank you to whoever was the provider of the holiday goodies. Thank you very much. I missed the biscotti from Barbara Blanchard, right. So somebody needs to step up with a doggone biscotti already. Pam.
Well, if I can buy it, maybe, but I'm not much of a baker. This is an advertisement for that wonderful chocolate store, Life So Sweet, on Green Street, right down from near the library.
That started in Trumsburg, I might add.
Right, and this is one of the recipients of that award from the Downtown Ethical
Alliance,
where they, you know,
right.
They had a good business plan and they got help.
Very
with
nice, yes.
It's fantastic. You need to go. So, I mean, they have coffee, they have a fountain, so you can sit and eat right there.
So thank you, Martha.
Great.
How do you know next that? Year, somebody step it up.
How do I know that? Chocolate is in my DNA, so yeah.
I'd like to move the minutes.
Yeah, well, Will, did you have?
Well, yeah. I also want to add my thanks.
Oh.
But before we go out of here, I also wanted to convey how delighted I was to see Kathy back sitting next to you. And,
yeah.
May she
welcome
do
back, Kathy. Yeah.
all right, Pam, you want to move the minutes?
Yes.
All three?
Well, I guess I'll start with the 13th of November.
All right. Pat seconds that. Discussion. All in favor of November 13th, please raise your hand. Opposed. That's unanimous. Okay. Pam, go ahead. Next.
I'm on a roll here. November 20th.
No, you're not.
Second by Pat. Discussion. All in favor.
All right.
Opposed. One opposed.
November 4th.
Pat, seconds, good. All right, all in favor, discussion, all in favor, opposed, one opposed. All right, folks, listen, there is, you know, it is, as Carol said, it can be a dangerous season. It's supposed to be snowing. Some of this rain, which should be snow if if not for climate change, it is going to be snowy this weekend.
We're looking for some snow.
We everybody, some please snow. Enjoy the holidays, and we'll see you all back 2013.
Joe, can I speak to you a moment, please?